Okay, so we're doing Mishmar here. I don't know if you realize why, but first of all, there's a lot of yeshiva simchas the last couple of weeks, so not a lot of guys. A lot of guys left. A lot of guys went out to the simcha, which is amazing. But we're also doing it because when I started a couple of years ago in yeshiva, Mishmar was in Ezra's Nashim. Mishmar is not my creation. It was a creation of a Rebbe who's not here anymore. He was here a few years ago. So Mishmar was in Ezra's Nashim. So when I joined, it was in Ezra's Nashim, and then we moved it downstairs. But we came back up here. First of all, tonight's a smaller crowd. And second of all, it's a little bit of a farewell. I get very attached to my rooms. This has been my room for a little bit. And this is a little bit of a farewell. I want to talk about it. I'll probably forget by the end to get back to it. But I want to talk about this farewell to the room. There was a territorial dispute of sorts. And it seems that my shir is moving elsewhere. It's a gullus. It's an exile.
Boom.
It could be the end of my era in this room. And I want to have a little bit of a farewell in this room. Happens to be that it's a different kind of vibe, at least from where I sit. I get to see the chevra, and I'm enjoying something about that. Because next week also, a few of the rebbeim are going to America to meet the new chevra. And we get to meet the new chevra, and I'm sitting here now while the singing was going on, and I have these nostalgic thoughts. I was thinking back a couple years ago, forgive me if I say your name, and forgive me, I guess, if I don't say your name. But I'm sitting over here, and when I first joined yeshiva, I spent a couple hours in Refershal in his mother-in-law's house, sitting with Jonah, and it was we were sitting with Jonah, and we wanted Jonah to join the mishpacha here, and I didn't know what Jonah was. I didn't chap what he was. If I chap what he was, I would have tried much harder. But Hashem was good to us, and Hashem pushed Jonah in this direction. And I met Gabe and DRS, and I didn't meet all of you in America, but last year I was in the airport. I still remember David from Florida. We were texting, and I don't know if you know, I was in the airport. I was texting you. We were back and forth, voice notes. And I got to meet a lot of you guys. Corey, we sat in half there for her. He got all dressed up in a fancy suit. But it's extremely nostalgic. Riz, I see we hung out in Valley Torah last year. It's extremely nostalgic to just look at the chevra that we met a couple years ago. You're also in Refershal's mother-in-law's house. And to look where we are now, we're having a great time. We're having a great time. I think this yeshiva is a great time. It's an absolutely wonderful time. And to go back to America now next week, I don't know, it's very nostalgic. I'm losing my room, but the family's going to grow, Mirtz Hashem. And we're going to meet new chevra that's going to come. They flew me all the way to Toronto for one guy. I went to Toronto for one guy 2 years ago, Yecheskel. I met this one Jew, and I said, fly me again. If there's another Jew like that, fly me again. Go to Toronto for another Jew like that. And now we're all sitting here together. It's an amazing thing. I feel very nostalgic. I feel very, very excited about this upcoming trip, and the family gets bigger. I want to talk about something that I heard that was spoken about. So part of me says, okay, it was spoken about. Don't talk about it again. But the bigger part of me says, talk about it again. I want to tell you why. When a lot of people are talking about the same thing, it means that we're all thinking about the same thing. It means that we're all in the same direction, we're all in the same place. That's a mishpacha, it's a family. When everybody's thinking about similar things, it means we're coming from the same angle, we have the same perspectives, we're sharing the same ideas. I think there's something very powerful, there's something very beautiful about that. It's redundant. Okay, if you have a good memory like myself, it's not redundant because you forgot already what the guy said yesterday. It's all fresh. It makes it much easier to do chazara. You do chazara if you forgot what we said yesterday, especially if you weren't paying attention yesterday. It's very easy to do chazara. Aseres HaDibros is very hard for me. Very hard for me. I know all the answers that you know. I think we all know the answers. I don't understand why 10 are more important than the other ones. There's a lot. There's 613. I don't know why these 10 were the chosen 10. There's other ones that if you would have asked me, I would have chosen. These are nice. These are important. These are very important. But there's other ones that are also very important. I don't know why it had to be 10. I have no idea what a tablet is. I don't know why tablets are important. I also don't know why two tablets. The whole thing, in first grade, I understand. But as I get older and older, I don't understand anything. I don't know what is going on here. I don't know significance. I don't know the drama behind it. There's a lot to talk about. But the one thing that I'll talk about tonight is the introductions, the overwhelmingly long and seemingly unnecessary introductions. I would have been happy it started out straight to the point, cut straight to the chase, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, you know, and that's also very long. A lot about Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Lotasa is very too long for my taste personally. Zachar Yom Shabbos Lekotcho would have ended it there. Hashem has a lot more to say. I like the second tab. Second tablet's short. Lo Tirtza, Lo Tinav, straight to the point. Lo Signo. But there's a lot of introductions. Long introductions. There's introductions here, setting up boundaries. You can't get too close to the mountain. Long, but Hashem is like saying it and then repeating it and then asking, Moshe, you did it, you sure? It was done properly. And then the whole thing was a waste. Because the first noise that came out, the whole Klai Yisrael, they flew back. The angels had to pull them forward, and even pull them forward. They didn't come all the way back forward. They got thrown all the way back. So why'd they have to be so careful not to get close to the mountain? It was a waste. And then the drama, the kolos ubrakim, you saw the thunder, you heard the lightning. I have no idea what that means. I don't know why that's necessary. And then Hashem had to be very nice. He was very cordial to us. He said, guys, listen, if you're going to follow my ways, you're going to listen to me, like we just sang, Ba'atem Tiyuli, you'll be for me, Mamleches Kohanim, you're going to be a nation of priests. The Baal Turim says over here, I never saw this Baal Turim, Baal Turim says over here, La'asid Lavo, every one of us is going to be a Kohen Gadol. He quotes the Pasuk, he says it was supposed to be like that, there was a change of heart, La'asid Lavo, every guy in the room, every member of Klal Yisrael, we're going to be Kohanim Gadolim from this Pasuk. It's not the way the other Rishonim learn. That's what says Baal Turim. We're all going to be Kohanim Gadolim. Goy Kadosh. Hashem had to like apologize. He was apologizing. Guys, I know I'm pulling you in. I'm giving you the Torah, but I'm apologizing. You know, it's also, good things going to happen also. You'll be. He had to appease us. He had to lure us in. He was like fishing. All the other nations turned him down. He was a little bit maybe insulted. He was a little disappointed. Everybody turned him down. He said, I got to fish. This is my last hope. The last white hope over here, the Jewish nation. He had to try to convince us to take the Torah. I understand why it's necessary. We were very happy to say Naaseh V'Nishma. We were very forthcoming with our Naaseh V'Nishma. He put a mountain on our heads to put us in shock and fear. And the whole thing was shock and fear. And then he apologizes at the end. He says, I am only scaring you, so you'll have Yiras Shamayim, Levilti Sechetou, you're not going to do Chatoyim. The whole thing is a hakdama. The Ramban says afterwards, there's a few psukim afterwards, the Ramban says it's misplaced. It's also in the hakdama, long-winded hakdamas. Parshas Yisro, the whole story about Yisro, what's it doing over here? There it is, like everything else, it's hakdama. These are all premises and prefaces and introductions to Matan Torah. Without these things, you can't have Matan Torah. You don't have kolos ubrakim, there's no Matan Torah. You don't have the Gvul, the Hagbalah, the Shlosh Yisimei Hagbalah, there's no Matan Torah. You don't have Parshas Yisrael, there's no Matan Torah. You don't have the Atem Tiyul Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, there's no Matan Torah. I don't understand. Why need all this stuff for? And then, the main introduction that I heard was spoken about this week is said in the strangest way. There's an introduction we need, a premise we need, that we have to be ish echad b'lev echad. You would have asked me to say it, I would have said it very loud. That guys, you got to be mamleches kohanim, goy kadosh, and most important, I need you guys to be ish echad b'lev echad. And what does Hashem say? It doesn't say that. Hashem tells us, vayichon shom Yisrael neged ahar. They were camped out by the mountain. That's it. Like a historical fact. And says Chazal, Rashi quotes, that means we were ish echad b'lev echad. Maybe the most important premise, the most important necessary introduction, you forgot to mention, you mentioned by accident. We're medayik in a pasuk that from that, we were ish echad b'lev echad. And that was a very important introduction. You skipped the whole thing, you forgot to tell us. I'll tell you Kli Yakar. There's a Kli Yakar I chanced upon. And the Kli Yakar says like this, a beautiful vart. He says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. It's not by chance that that pasuk reveals to us ish echer b'lev echer, he says the har is why ish echer b'lev echer. But I don't know if he said it. I don't know if he explained it. But he said the following. He said when we got to the har, we were shocked. Everybody stood at the har. Vayichan sham. You got there to camp by the har. You looked at the har. You couldn't believe what you saw. You heard, we went through Kriyas Yamsuf, we had the 10 Makos, we had a great time. Everybody's having a great time. Fruit trees growing out of nowhere. Everybody's having a great time. You get all the wealth of Mitzrayim coming up from the sea. We're having an amazing time. And we know that the climax, the peak, is when we get to Har Sinai. And we get to Har Sinai, we couldn't believe our eyes. It was a nothing. It was a nothing of a mountain. A hill. By accident, the hill. This is Har Sinai. After Kriyas Yamsuf, after Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arov, after Paro in pajamas, after the whole thing, I expected the fanciest place. I thought I was going to be blown away. And what did I... Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Neged, what? Har. A little guy, a little mountain. Doesn't have a name. The mountain, the little mountain. Says the Kliyakar, this har, that there was no glitter, no production, no glory on this har, we were shocked. And then we realized, this was the chosen har. It's supposed to be this way. It has to be this way. This is the har that was chosen, not by accident. Not in spite of the fact that it was a small, unknown, overlooked mountain. Not in spite of that. Because of that. Hashem was seeking out. Hashem was interested in finding the smallest, most unknown, most insignificant, the easiest overlooked place. And he found a little unsettled territory. You know where Har Sinai? We don't know where it is. Somebody wants to go there, we should have like a Poland trip to Har Sinai. It doesn't matter where it is. Har Sinai doesn't want to be known. Har Sinai appreciates its anonymity. It wants to remain in the darkness, shrouded away in history. Doesn't want to be mentioned before, doesn't want to be mentioned again, doesn't want people to know where it is, doesn't want people to celebrate, never did. Not in spite of that was why it was chosen. Because of that, Hashem says it was chosen. So we got to that mountain, we had an epiphany. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. And we realized something. But the whole time I thought it was about the excitement, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the chariots chasing behind, Nachshon jumping in, Shevet Binyamin, whoever it was, and then the split, and the trees, and the 12 tunnels of Kriyas Yamsuf, and we got to the end, and we all became very wealthy. Wow, that was glamorous. This is a shock. But it's not true. It's not 100% true. Because, not for now, but I've spoken in the past, I'll say briefly now. I hold that when Yisro, the introduction of Yisro, was not, Yisro never complained that I feel so bad, my son-in-law, he's got to judge the whole nation every day, all day. It's a terrible system, it's inefficient. Moshe was very capable to be the Dayan Emes. He was very capable to be the Av Bezdin and the Rosh Bezdin and the whole Bezdin. He had no problem. He didn't have to tell Moshe to take a vacation. That wasn't the issue. I hold the issue was Yisro was saying, Novel Tibol Gam Ha'on. The nation is going to fall apart if you have this system. Because you have one guy leading the system, you got to get more people involved. I need sorry Alofim, sorry Meos. I need people involved. I need Jews involved. One guy is going to run the whole system. Everybody stands in line for that one guy. Novel Tibol. Everybody's going to, the whole thing's going to fall apart. I need Chever involved. I need that you know you're going to be promoted to one of these great ministers, these great judges in Israel. I need you to know that you're going to be promoted to have a chelik in Klal Yisrael. Yisro was saying, we can't just be nobodies. You have a bunch of nobodies running around, you're not going to have Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not a bunch of nobodies. Klal Yisrael, like Hashem says, Mamlechus Kohanim. Mamlechus Kohanim means we're the holiest of people. We're the greatest of people. Goy Kadosh. Every guy walks around Klal Yisrael, I'm an eternal creature. I'm not a person. I'm a goy kadosh. The Svarno has the only definition I've ever seen on what the word kadosh means. It doesn't mean holy. Holy is a word that doesn't mean anything. Kadosh doesn't mean holy. Says the Svarno a few times in Chumash. Kadosh means eternal. We are an eternal nation. A Jew doesn't die. A Jew's not alive for 80 years, 70 years, 90 years. A Jew's alive forever. One nation, one people. We live forever. Hashem put inside of us Chayi Olam Nata B'Sofenu, planted in us eternity. Mamlechus Kohanim. That's what Yisro said to his son-in-law. I don't want a bunch of nobodies. You're going to show them inspiration, a lowly har? Where are they going to end up? That's going to be Naval Tibo Ha'amazet. They're going to end up nowhere. It's going to be a tragic outcome. I need this people. Should be great people. Tremendous people. Influential people. These people are supposed to build the whole world. It's like mixed messages. You tell me on one hand that you're supposed to see the har and realize that the climax, the peak, is to be a nothing. To be a nobody. To have the ultimate humility. But then you're telling me we're supposed to be great people. Tremendous people. You know, that's the Kirov tactic that they spread. That's the gospel that they spread today. How do you get a guy to be from? You tell him, we're going to be a great person. It's a lie. He's supposed to be a humble person. He's supposed to be a nobody. He's supposed to walk around and be machnia yourself. That doesn't work in Kirov. You can't go to a college campus and say, oh, you're going to be a geshmak and nobody. Come to my religion. No, you have to say, you're going to be the next leader. You go to NCS Washington. You're the next leaders of Klal Yisrael. Right? I don't know. True, not true. You show me the data. I'm not convinced. It's always true. But that's what you have to say at NCSY Shabbaton, because you got to get them to believe. So is this a lie? This Mamlechus Kohanim Goy Kadosh. If you read the Psukim, it sounds like maybe Hashem is apologizing. Say, guys, come on, you know, also, Mamlechus Kohanim Goy Kadosh. And then we're like, oh, very nice. And the next thing you know, there's a mountain on your head. I didn't agree to this. I agreed I should be the next leader of Klal Yisrael. I never agreed. A mountain on my head like this, I should have Yer Shemayim. It's very mixed messages over here. Now, I'm not sure what he wants from me. So I think there's only one pshat here. I don't think it's mixed messages. I think there's some people spoke about this. I'm just going to chazer. We're going to review a few things. I think yeshiva is the hardest place in the world. There's a lot of places I've been, a lot of places I heard about. I think yeshiva is the hardest place in the world. It's a very difficult place for many reasons. It's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place, but it's difficult. There are difficulties in yeshiva, but it's a wonderful place with difficulties. That's okay. That's a great opportunity. And one of the greatest difficulties in yeshiva is it's hard to stand out. It's very hard to stand out in yeshiva. There's a lot of very bright guys around here. You look around the room, a lot of very bright, intelligent guys. You have a lot of guys who are very capable at many things. They have a lot of strengths. You have a lot of guys in the room, very kind people, very giving people, sensitive people. They think about others. You have guys in the room that are intellectually in the highest echelon of the world. They're the elite. They're the academic elites. You have people who are hard workers. You have incredible work ethics. And you stand here, you're a tremendous intellectual. You have a great work ethic. But what are you going to do? Hashem didn't make you the most kind-hearted person. It's hard. Hard. You look around, you see everybody else is cleaning up, everybody else is helping out, and you're like a real stubborn, I only care about myself kind of guy. And it doesn't speak to. Or you're walking around helping out. You know, you're a big janitor over here. You're cleaning everything. And then it comes to the morning seder, and you're like, your brain just doesn't, you don't even know how to turn it on. It doesn't work. You try to turn it on, it doesn't turn on. And you work hard, Hasmada week, 40, 50, 60 hours. You claim you learned 150 daf. Come on, who are we kidding? You didn't learn not 150 daf, not 150 lines, I don't think 150 letters. But you have to feel good about yourself. So you say 150 daf, and you feel great about yourself. But it's hard. And some guys maybe have the triple crown. Some guys are intellectual elite and hard workers and Bali Chesed and kind hearted. And, oh, that guy makes me feel terrible about myself. I got to get the guy out of yeshiva. I got to make sure that when we bring new guys into yeshiva, we can't have those guys because I walk around. That's going to feel like Har Sinai. I don't want to feel like Har Sinai over here. It's a very hard place. So what do you do if it's a very hard place? It's very simple what you do. You got to vibe for position. You have to, you know, it's like, I don't want to say about other people. We have very good athletes. I heard we offered another yeshiva, I don't want to say. We offered another yeshiva to play and they turned us down. They said, well, you can embarrass us. Yeshiva, very good athletes. They didn't want to play us. They were embarrassed. They thought we were going to embarrass them. They're very good athletes here. I call myself a little bit above average athlete. I remember when I was in elementary school, it's probably sixth grade, seventh grade, I knew how I'm going to be the captain of the team. I knew it. I'm just going to bully the other kids till they hate school, and they're going to switch schools, and then I'll be the best kid on the team. And if you're laughing, and you're above a little above average, or for sure less than that, at ball, you know you had the same plan that I had. We all had the same plan. This kid, oh, he's going to get kicked out of school. That kid is going to academically be suspended from the team. And next thing you know, I'm captain of the team. That was my plan. Why? Because we all want to stand out. And sometimes we just don't stand out. Because we're all great. That's why. Because we're all great. We're all doing a great job. And you're harder on yourself than you are on the next guy. So it's easier to look up to the next guy than it is to look up to yourself. So we vie for a position. Everybody's trying to establish themselves. And also, we're young. You're young. So your identity is still in the process of forming. You're still forming your identity. So you're young. You don't exactly know what your identity is or what you're good at, what you're great at. So you're pushing yourself around. You're making yourself take up a lot of space. You take up a lot of space. Because you think that your power is in your greatness. As great as you'll be, that's your power. That's your control. That's how you'll show the world. Not for now. I'm not going to talk about it now. But if you know me, you know my opinion. You might put on a jacket. You might change your shirt. You might swing around your tzitzis. That's the cheapest way to vie for a position. The cheapest way. I feel terrible for a person who needs to stoop to that low level of just completely putting on a costume and thinking that says something about himself. It's a very, very cheap method. Nobody needs to do that. Nobody needs to do that. You're all much greater than that. You're all much bigger than that. Just be yourself. But it's hard, because a lot of great people. But if you think the power, your position is in your greatness, you're making a big mistake, a massive mistake. I'll tell you where your power is. I'll tell you what it means, mamlechus kohanim v'goy kadosh. You have to ask, what's a kohen? A kohen's a servant. A kohen's an eved. That's what a kohen is. He's an eved. So you can tell me a Levi is a bigger Eved because he works for the Eved. Okay, maybe a Levi is a bigger Eved. You're right. And Yisrael is the biggest Eved because Yisrael has to give everything he owns, a nice amount of what he owns, to the other Eved. So a Cohen's an Eved. A Levi is an Eved's Eved. And Yisrael is a Pasha, the lowest of all slaves, the nobody of slaves. And we hope and pray and look forward to when we'll be a Mamlachas Kohanim. We're all going to be slaves. Amazing. But slaves to who? Not to Paro. Slaves to the boss. That's what we want to be. We want to work for the boss. We want to be slaves. What does it mean to be a slave? You serve. You serve. As much as you could serve, you serve. And you think about serving. You think about how you can serve. You think about who you could serve. You think about when you could serve. So some people, you're not a kind-hearted guy. That's okay. You can work on that. You'll work on that. That's okay. But you're a very good learner. You're excellent. Hashem blessed you with a great gift. He gave you a very, very good lollipop. You learn amazing. There's a lot of people who don't. A lot of people don't. There's a Rebbe in Yeshiva. I don't want to say names. If I say it not in the right way, I don't want to embarrass somebody. But there's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, one of the biggest Talmidei Chacham in Yeshiva. He has a little extra time. So somebody told me that he, with his extra time during the break, he learns with a guy in yeshiva. He helps him to this guy struggles reading. I don't know if he has an official inability, but he struggles. So this rabbi helps him to read. From the biggest Talmidei Chachamim we have in yeshiva, he volunteered to give half hour of his day during the break to learn with the guy to help him just to read. Help him just to read. And a normal person looks at this and he says, whoa, he's wasting his talents. He's wasting his time. He could be doing so much more with his time. He's so much more capable. Why is he doing that? Torah is Torah. Chesed is Torah. Jews are Torah. You open up Aseres HaDibros. You have to connect. There's two Dibros. You put together two Dibros. Everything in Yiddishkeit needs to come together. We need to bring it together. We need to bring it in. When you bring things in, it all works. The Kruvim, they need to give each other a big hug. The Kruvim is the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. We need to give each other a big hug. Every morning, a big hug. The two luchos, it's ben adam lechavero, ben adam makom. You need to give each other a big hug. You need to put it zeh le'uma zeh. You need to put it next to each other. They should hold each other. They could connect to each other. Everything in Yiddishkeit is to bring it together. Ish echad b'lev echad, maybe. I don't know exactly what it means. I don't know what it means. But ish echad b'lev echad means that when we're under a mountain, when you're under a mountain, I need to hold your hand. Because I'm a little frightened when I'm under a mountain. So what does it do for me when I hold your hand? When I'm under, I don't even know what it does for me. But for some reason, when I get scared, I need to hold your hand. So I'm asking you, I'm under a mountain. I'm shivering. I'm frightened. There's kolos who broke in. It's loud. I'm all of a sudden seeing thunder. I'm hearing lightning. I'm in a panic right now. I don't know what's going on. Flying back, flying forward, malachim. It's a crazy time. You got to hold my hand. Do me a favor, hold my hand. Hold my hand now. Taftis ahar, kafalim harke gigas, im tekablu mutov, im lav, sham tehek for aschem. I'm being threatened that this is going to be my burial. I need to hold my hand. Hold my hand. When you hold another Jew's hand, you help him out. You think about him. What does he need? We have an initiative in my shir. Nobody listens to me, so nobody does it. But it's a theoretical initiative. It's very easy in yeshiva. Very easy in yeshiva. When a guy's in his bed for a day, for 2 days. There's some guys like that in every yeshiva. Every yeshiva is blessed with some guys like that. They're a big bracha to yeshiva. I hold, they hold up the whole yeshiva, those guys. So there's a few guys in their bed. They spend a lot of time in their bed. They're the pillars of yeshiva. The pillars. Very holy people. Extremely holy people. They're very easy to have what a guy a couple years ago, he coined the term. He said it's something called chakra superiority. I have this disease also. Chakra superiority means if you're a guy who gets the chakras on time or early, you just look down on everybody who gets there late. You're not davening. You're looking every guy who walks in late. You're giving him a dirty look. What a loser. That guy's he's going to end up nowhere. He'll never be successful. That guy's a real nobody. It's chakra superiority. Very easy. You have a good morning seder. You're on fire. It was a schmeitzer. It was a tzais. You're learning sex fake. You're having a day. You're having a day. You understood shir. You convinced yourself you understood shir. Either way. And then you go to the dorms. You go to the dorms. And you see one of these pillars of yeshiva in his bed. It's hard not to spit on him. You like really want to spit on him, kick him, pour water on him, throw the bed in the lake. You really want to just hurt the guy. You want to hurt the guy. You want to hurt the guy. So in my shir, we have a theoretical initiative because you need to be a powerhouse to actually put it into practice. I want you to bring him food. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He's holding up the whole yeshiva. He's from the holiest guys in yeshiva. I want breakfast, lunch, and get a snack in the middle. I want you to leave in the middle of morning seder, bring that guy a snack. He woke up in the middle. He's like, oh, you know. Get the guy a snack. He needs a bag of chips. He needs a cookie. You know what's going on in his life? I don't know what's going on in his life. But that's where he wants to be. That's where he needs to be. That's where he's going to be. You care about him. You think about him. You wonder about him. But not Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz, how could I help? If you need something, let me know. Ashkenaz, they're very polite. Sephardi, just give him. Just give. Don't ask questions. Just put it there. Put it there. He eats it. He doesn't eat it. It goes to, you might find at the end of the week, it's piled up. The guy has been, you know, he hasn't woken up for 7 days. Figure it out. So Torah is to be mitzarif the Brias. Torah says, Torah was created, lahoel la'achriti. To help Klal Yisrael, to help others, to help Jews. It's the whole tachlis. When a person has gaiva, nobody has gaiva here. When a person has gaiva, when a person gets closer to the midah of gaiva, gaiva means there's no room for other people. The Rabbanu Shalom says, he says, when a person has gaiva, I can't live in the same place as that guy because there's not enough space in the world for a guy with gaiva and the Rabbanu Shalom. Rabbanu Shalom takes up space, takes up a little space. Because if a guy is gaiva, there's no room for me. The guy, he's not in first class. His first class seat extended to premium and economy plus, and I feel the guy went into coach now. He took up the whole space. He vied for position so well that there's no room for anybody else. It's a great honor for me to give this room. I don't want to talk details, because I don't know details. I don't know details, so I'm not going to talk details. But this room, somebody needs this room. Why? Mystery. Who? Bigger mystery. But somebody needs this room. I don't even know what I'm thinking about. You give them the room. Where are they going to put you? I told my shir, we're going to the streets. On Sunday morning, I'm leaving. I'm going to be on the beach in Miami. But my shir, they're going to be on the streets. I don't know where we're going to go. But somebody said they need the room. So somebody needs the room. You give them the room. What are they going to do with the room? Doesn't matter. You'll bring them lunch. You'll bring them dinner. You'll take care of them. The whole tachlis of Torah. The whole tachlis is to understand that the only way we're going to be mamlachis kohanim v'goy kadosh is if you're betachtis ahar. It's not two contradictory messages. It's the same message. Who's going to be mamlachis kohanim v'goy kadosh? The guy who's betachtis ahar, who's under the mountain, who's neged ahar, and he realizes, oh, that's my role model. Har Sinai is my role model. Har Sinai, I just thought, what could I do? How could I do? But not for my COVID, not for my glamour, not for my... For them. What could I do for them? I am very personally excited when I go to America. I love these trips. Yainasan walked in. I met Yainasan. We sat. We hung out last year on the West Coast. We had a great time. Kravitz, I sat with on the East Coast. We had a great time. I met Judah over there also, East Coast, Steinmetz. We had a great time. And now I'm going, I look forward. I look forward to bringing more people into this very holy place that I believe in with every ounce of my heart. Because there's no place, there's no time, there's no person who's perfect. But I know we all have the same agenda. And when I go back, I say, I want you to be a part of my family. And in my family, we have a great time. We have an incredible time. We're just having a grand old time. And we're caring and we're thinking about each other. And we want to make sure that everybody's having a great time. The staff, the rebbeim, the guys, that's what this place is. So sometimes it's a little hard. Sometimes you get caught up in your insecurities. Everybody, you have insecurities? Bless your soul. That means you're a human being. You're a healthy guy. The more insecurities, the more human you are. You're doing great. You're doing amazing. No boo should have insecurities. You're embarrassed about parts of yourselves? How could you not be? These guys walking around to you are super intellectually elite, also great athletes, also hard workers, also Bali Chesed. They're like killing life, and I'm like a big loser. Very hard, I agree with you. We have a ton of insecurities. You're doing great. Now take your insecurities and understand that's your mamlachas kohanim v'goy kodesh. That's your gabbas. We're going to bring it all in. That's Klal Yisrael. That's Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. We're all working to the same thing. So I just want to thank the room. This is the second room that I had to leave in my career as a, I don't even know what I do, whatever I do. But the first room I missed dearly, it's called the Blue Room. If somebody visits the Blue Room, please give the Blue Room a kiss for me. I miss very few things, but I miss the Blue Room. The Blue Room I miss dearly. The Blue Room is, my heart is still there, part of my heart is still there. And this room, maybe we'll go back, maybe we'll come back. But for the time being, we want to give this room. We're going to give this room because we're not taking up this room. If people need more space, whatever that amount of people might be, we're giving them more space. And this room, Benedava, Benediva slave, with a good feeling, with an open heart. I'm making jokes. My jokes are jokes. I don't mean my jokes. But my serious tone is we want to give this room for people who need this room. So we're going to the streets. If somebody has an extra tent, I would appreciate that for my guys. I don't want Jack, you know, getting wet. Jack might get, Ozzy might get wet. These guys might get wet. Yeah, Strawly P might get wet. So if you have a tent to donate, but I want this yeshiva, a few rebbeim are going to America to bring more chevra into the family. And I also want to say one thing that I don't like, because why not? If I'm here anyway, I'll say one thing. I don't like a nusach, if you talk to your friends, that there's interviews. There's no interviews. I don't like a nusach. You get in, you don't get in. There's no getting in. Nobody gets in. Don't get in. Nonsense. There's no interviews. We don't interview. We meet Jews. We're meeting Jews. We have a great time. We meet more Jews. We're meeting Jews. And some Jews we're going to spend more time with. There's some Jews I met last year. They're not here. I miss those guys. One of those guys I put in my group chat. I liked him so much. I have a night group chat. I put him in. He's in a different yeshiva. I like him a lot. It might have been an accident because he has the same name as another guy in our yeshiva. Amazing news. We're meeting Jews. You get in, you're not, you don't get in. That's the Rabbanu Shalom decides. Rabbanu Shalom decided. You're here, you're in a different yeshiva. All these yeshivas are amazing. All these yeshivas are amazing. But I know what's amazing about this yeshiva. What's amazing about this yeshiva is that we're having a great time. We need to be having a great time. And we need to be thinking about each other. And we need to be giving to each other. And if you give to each other, that's your godless. That's your mamlechas kohanim goy kodesh. Because you understand that it starts at Har Sinai. Shkoyach b'Shabbos.